good time of fellowship. And I like watching these young'uns come time for fellowship. And that when I was a kid at church, when they were all going to shake hands and sing, "I'll meet you in the morning" and such, that was my favorite time of service. And matter of fact, I felt like everybody loved me. When I was a kid growing up, I learned different, but I felt like everybody loved me. And got around the time for fellowship, I just knew everybody wanted to hug my neck, and they mostly did. And I watched these young'uns run around the church this morning and shake hands with people and just feel loved and welcome. And I want everybody to feel just that same way. And I'm so glad that you're here at the house of the Lord. It's wonderful to be able to worship God together again. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and one verse we'll read in verse number 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and verse number 11. The word of the Lord says, "I am become a fool in glorying. Ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you, for in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing." Very unusual place to take our text, but I want you to notice the verse again. "I am become a fool in glorying. Ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you, for in nothing am I behind, the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing." You can be seated. Thank you for standing with us while I read the word of the Lord. The setting of the verse is in the time when Paul, through his blessings of an abundance of dreams and visions, he was also tested with a thorn in his flesh that he begged the Lord three times to remove from him. Yet in every time God gave him grace for the thorn and would not remove it and said, "My grace is sufficient for thee." Right. The Bible says that Paul told us that his thorn was truly given him lest he should glory or become prideful about this power with God that he had. In verse 7, he said, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations there were given unto me a thorn in the flesh, messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." And so this thorn helped keep Paul humble. It brought him down to understand what he was. And matter of fact, if he hadn't had the thorn in his flesh that continued to keep him humble, he would not have continued to enjoy the blessings of the abundance of visions and dreams and power with God and access, direct access to the Lord. It was this thing that kept him humble, reminding him that he was nothing, that allowed him to be able to draw near to the cross and to be able to experience God. Right. And in our text verse, he admits that he would be foolish to glory, though at times his critics require him to vindicate his ministry and to tell them of the things that he's done and the experiences he's had with God in order to validate his ministry with the Lord so that they'll hear his voice. That's what he means by when he says, "Though I become a fool in glorying, but you've compelled me." In other words, your arguments against me have required of me to answer for myself, though I feel like a fool for doing it. For he said, "The truth is, I ought to have been committed to you. You ought to thank me for preaching the gospel to you and telling you the truth." For he said, "I'm not even behind, I'm nothing behind, even the chiefest apostles." But then the thorn in his flesh kicks in again and he reminds himself, he said, "Though I be nothing, I'm nothing." The thorn in his flesh reminded him that he was nothing. It reminded him how weak and how little and how small he was without the Lord. Right. And so he realized ultimately, Paul says, "Though I be nothing," ultimately he realized that he was nothing. I want to preach this morning, and the Bible, by the way, has a lot to say about nothing. And Paul said, "I be nothing," or "I am nothing." And the Bible has a lot to say about nothing. And I just want to do what I want to do this morning. I want to preach to you a sermon about nothing. And the whole Bible, all throughout the Bible. Matter of fact, when I got to looking yesterday in the concordance, it was over some 700 times that the Bible talked about nothing. And so I want to preach to you this morning a sermon about nothing. And it's all through the Bible. As a matter of fact, when you leave the church and the folks said, "What did your preacher preach on today?" You say, "Well, I don't think he preached on nothing." But he did. He preached on nothing. And so that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. But this thing of nothing is all through the Bible. The Apostle Paul in our text this morning tells us that "I am nothing." You see, he realized that though he had had abundance of dreams and visions, and though he had been used of God to preach the gospel, and though he had, my friend, for the cause of Christ, and God had blessed his work and the labor of his hands and his efforts, he realized ultimately he was nothing without the Lord. You see, he realized even though he was in no way behind the chiefest of the apostles, that he was nothing all by himself. You see, we need to come to the place to realize that without God, we are nothing. We have no power within ourselves. And this morning in the Sunday school lesson, that rich young ruler comes to the Lord, having said, "What good thing can I do that I might inherit eternal life?" He failed to realize that without God, he was nothing. He couldn't do anything to save himself. He couldn't do anything to inherit eternal life. It took a supernatural work of God in him to give him eternal life. Galatians chapter 6, the Bible said in verse number 3, "If a man think of himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself." I mean, we are nothing outside of the Lord. We are warned in Romans chapter 12, it begins in verse 1, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be it transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And most often that's where we set off and let off, quoting that verse 3 said, "For I say unto you, brethren, to every man that is among you, that you not think of yourselves more highly than what you ought to think, but that you should think soberly and righteously, as God has dealt unto every man a measure of faith." And so it is that he's reminding us that one's no greater than the other. And in the eyes of God, there are no big eyes and little ewes, and without God we are nothing. You see, even listen, hey, even the faith that we got saved by came from the Lord. The Lord gave unto every man a measure of faith. You see, God gives grace and God gives faith and God gives salvation. And what is it that we do? Not an awful lot. Just exercise what it is that God has given unto us. And for without him we are nothing, friend. Proverbs 16 and 18 said that pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 11 and 12 said, "When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom." You see, friend, you're higher with God when you're low. Amen. The way up with God is down. Hey, thank God. Isn't that right? The way to stand with God is to get on your knees. The way to be big is how to be small. And so if you realize that you're nothing and let God work in you, God will honor that. Proverbs 29 and 23 said, "A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit." You see, the apostle said in the book of Second Peter, that God resisted the proud, but he giveth grace unto the humble. If you'll humble yourself, understand that you're nothing, that you can't do anything without the Lord, that you need his help. That's when God will intervene in your life and operate on your behalf. The Laodicean church in Revelation 3 and 17 saw that they were rich and increased with goods and had need of nothing. But they knew not that they were wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked without God. I began to consider in my studies yesterday that quite possibly no truer song has ever been written than that song, "Without him I would be nothing. Without him I would be nothing." And the song begins, "Without him I could do nothing. Without him I'd surely fail. Without him I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Without him I would be dying. Without him I'd be enslaved. Without him I would be worthless. But with Jesus, thank God, I'm saved." Jesus, oh Jesus, do you know him today? Please don't turn him away. Oh Jesus, my Jesus, without him how lost I would be. Without him how lost I would be. And there's never been a more truer song written than that. God, the Apostle Paul says, "I am nothing outside of the Lord." But then not only does he teach us in our text that he is nothing, but we also learn to free it in 1 Corinthians 4 and 4. Paul not only said, "I am nothing," but in 1 Corinthians 4 and 4, he said, "I know nothing." He said in 1 Corinthians 4 and 4, "For I know nothing by myself."
himself. This is a man that was so educated, had so many degrees, had so many accolades, and was experienced, my friend, in so many cultures of the world, and yet he declared that he knew nothing of himself. Well, my. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 1, and the latter part of the verse begins, knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifies. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing. Did you hear that part of the verse? If any man thinketh that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing. Amen. Yet as he ought to know, but if any man love God, the same is known of him. I tell you, there are many who are interested in telling everybody what they know all the time. All of you know some Mr. Know-it-all, don't you? I mean, friend Hayes. Oh my. I began talking along these lines to somebody last week, and they said that they was married to that fellow. And then they said they married Mr. Wright, but they didn't know his first name was Always. And they're up and hey. I'm telling you, some folks that Always has got to know everything. If you talk about one thing, they're an expert on that. If you want to talk about something else, they're an expert on that. And if you've ever caught a 5-pound fish, they've caught a 50-pound fish. If you've ever shot a 100-pound deer, they've shot a 300-pound deer. I mean, friend, hey, no matter what you've done, if they had a skateboard, it'd be bad. Amen. I'm telling you, their truck's bigger and badder and better. Their stuff is bigger. They've gone further, done more, no more. I mean, they're just higher and better. But listen, when you come to the realization of God, who He is, who you are, that doesn't make you haughty like that. That'll help you realize that you are nothing and that you know nothing outside of God. I tell you, it does not matter so much how that you can tell everybody how much you know and what you know about God and about everything else too. But without God and without you know God, you really just don't know anything. There's a lot of folks mighty educated, but they don't know God and the things they know. Well, there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. That's what the Word taught us. If you're going to know something that matters, friend, you need to know God.
There was a lady that had Alzheimer's. She was took a great deal of labor and a great deal of, I don't want to say pride, but can't think of the other word that I'm looking for. Took a great deal of care and concern in memorizing scriptures. It was important to her. She made it a priority to memorize the Word of God. And she would quote these scriptures again and again and stand and testify and quote the scriptures of the Word of the Lord. People admired her greatly for her knowledge of the Word of God and her memorization of the scriptures. But as the Alzheimer's began to set in and though it seemed like she knew much, came to a time where she knew very little and she began to forget the verses and the references and she couldn't finish the sentences when she started. And she'd start off a verse and couldn't finish it up anymore. And it got down so bad she could only remember one verse, but she continued to repeat it, trying to keep it fresh in her mind. I know in whom I have believed. I might not know much, she'd say, but I know in whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. And then as it began to progress worse and worse, she lost pieces of the verse. And she'd forget about the front and the back and the middle and all this. But when it came down to the end, she'd say, I know Him. I know Him. I know Him. Hey, she may not have known much at that point in her life, but I tell you, as long as you know Him, it's what really matters. Oh, John Newton had mental problems later in life. He's the one that wrote the song Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. When he got late in life and he began to forget things, and he couldn't remember the scriptures, and he couldn't remember his sermons, he'd say, I don't remember a lot, don't know a lot, but this much I do know. Whereas I am a great sinner, Christ is surely a great Savior. I tell you, if you know that much, friend, you know an awful lot. And you know what it takes to get to heaven, amen. Oh, listen, I quit trusting in your own knowledge and in your own abilities and understand. I am nothing. I know nothing. Without Him, I can't do nothing.
said amen. That's the third thing this morning. Not only does Paul teach us, I am nothing, I know nothing, but we're taught by our Lord, I can do nothing. John 15 and 15, Jesus said, I am the vine and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. There's not one person who can make their own heart beat. We can't do anything on our own. I move among you by taking care or concern. Can add one cubit to his height. You can't do it. You can't make yourself taller or bigger. I tell you, without God, you can do nothing. No need swelling your chest out and talking about what all you've done and the money you've made and the job that you have or something that you've earned. I tell you, outside of God, you can do nothing. Listen, friend, I don't know, and you don't either, that you'll wake up in the morning with sense enough to know your name. It's by the mercies of the Lord. It's by the mercies of God that I've got the ability to stand this morning in the pulpit and declare unto you the unsearchable riches of Christ. I tell you, I can do nothing. Hear me, I can't preach. Lord knows that's right. It'll take God's Holy Spirit in my life. I preach the gospel, amen. I tell you, you don't know how to be a parent. You don't know how to live your life. You can't even make your heart beat. You can't make your hands move. That takes God, friend. That takes God. He's been merciful. And whatever we do by the strength given unto us by the Lord.
There's nobody in here that earned their own strength, their own mental capacity. I'm saying, listen, you didn't do anything to have two good legs and two good arms. You didn't do anything to have a mind to receive and understand. You didn't do anything to get this. It's the blessings of the Lord. It's God's blessings and us. Amen, that's right. Oh, my. I can do nothing outside of Him. Hey, listen, it's says in Acts 17 and 28 that it's in Him we live and move and have our being. There's no need to beat your chest and declare all that you can do. And God can put your flat on your back and He reminds you that without Him you can do nothing.
Amen.
Amen. That's exactly right. I thought about a lot of times I've thought about my Uncle Jack who was mighty strong, and he was one of my heroes of growing up. I mean, I thought Jack Allen could lasso the moon now. I'm telling you, he always had fun and mischief about him. I was always playing and clowning. And of course, as a kid, you know, them's the people you like. You don't like them people that's serious about everything all the time. And by the way, you may not realize it, but grown folks don't like those people either. They just won't tell you about it. Amen. I mean, listen, hey, he had fun about him. He was a lot of fun to be around, had a lot of mischief about him and such. And when we'd go camping and such, he threw them horseshoes sideways. You've seen them fellows do that. Grab one leg of the horseshoe, one side of it, sort of toss it, just lay off the wrong foot. That horseshoe would spin around and around. About 9 out of 10 of them would land right around the post and hug that post. I mean, he could land him. I thought that's the greatest talent ever known to humanity, a man that could throw a ringer nearly every time. I mean, I love my Jack. I thought Jack was the greatest fellow in the world. But there came a time, friend, where Uncle Jack wasn't as strong as he was no more. And sickness and Alzheimer's and such, I racked him and tore him up. And my friend, he'd get off driving that gas truck with Bossman gas and forget how to get home. They had to ask him to retire so he wouldn't hurt himself or cause a problem. Afraid he's going to forget something while he's out working on the gas line and get blown up. And was concerned about him in age and time and sickness got a hold to him. And the lesson, hey, he got down where they had to. Folks had to change his clothes for him. And he didn't even know who was around. Who was standing in the room with him and such. I'd go see him and he wouldn't recognize me. And I stood over at the preacher's funeral and told how I admired him. But hear me, friend. The truth is, Uncle Jack and you and nobody else, we can't do anything except that which the Lord allows us to do. That great King stood over Jesus and he said, do you not have anything to save yourself? Do you not know that I have the power to take your life? And I have the power to turn you loose. And Jesus said, you'd have no power at all. I pick up. You know how much work I can do, preacher. Oh, men's got some issues with this. But I want to remind every one of you men, women, boys, and girls. Hey, you without him, you can do nothing. Hey, 1 Corinthians 10 and 12 said, hey, him that thinketh he stand, take heed lest he fall. I tell you, God can remind you how helpless you are if you won't remind yourself. Amen. I tell you, before the week's out, a doctor could come in and say, I got bad news, it's cancer. Amen.
Right.
Before the week's out, that good job you think's so good, you could be unemployed.
Right.
Before the week's out, you may think you're quick-minded and you may think that you got it all figured out now, but you could, hey, you could be down with a stroke and not have sense enough to know your name before the week's out this week.
Right.
God can remind you, if you think you're standing all by yourself, you think you can do by yourself, the Lord can get your attention and remind you, without Him, you can do nothing.
That's right.
I am nothing, I know nothing, I can do nothing. And then Paul reminded us in 1 Timothy 6 and 7 that I brought nothing. He said that we brought nothing into the world, and it is certain that we will carry nothing out. You see, I brought nothing to the table. This thing of life, I didn't come into life with a lot to offer. I didn't come into life with a lot to offer to life or to God or to the world. Hey, listen, hey, I was born just like all the rest of you were. I was born naked and barefooted. Amen. That's the way all of you was bare born. Matter of fact, most of us born bare. Naked, barefooted, and bald-headed. Amen. And chances are you'll die back basically the same way. Definitely leave the world naked and barefooted. You might be bald-headed too. But I tell you, we didn't bring anything into the world. And we're not taking anything out. Hey, you didn't come in the world toting a suitcase from heaven to tell everybody the contents thereof and how great you are. You came in the world with nothing. And you leave this world with nothing. You came into life with nothing, and you're going to eternity with nothing. You came into the world with nothing, and you'll meet God with nothing. That's exactly right, friend. I'll tell you, you'll stand naked before the Lord, exposed before God. You're born naked and barefoot, and you'll leave the same way. Proverbs 49 and 17 have said, or Psalms 49 and 17 said, for when he died, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. I tell you, a man that is born of a woman has but a few days and a full of trouble. I tell you, we're born with nothing. And when we leave this world, we'll take nothing out of here.
One preacher said, never seen
a hearse with a U-Haul trailer going behind it. And it really wouldn't matter if you had. Hey, listen, you can pack the casket full of stuff, but all it does is go with the body into the ground. It does not go with the eternal part of man into heaven. You cannot take anything from this world. Listen, flesh and blood, humanly matters, cannot enter into the kingdom of God. These things won't get there. And if they could, how are you going to impress God with it? How are you going to take enough gold up to heaven to impress God when God uses it for asphalt? How much property are you going to own to be able to impress God with it when the heavens are his throne and the earth is his footstool? I mean, how are you going to have enough a cloud, enough knowledge to impress God when the foolishness of God is greater than the wisdom of men? Amen. We're taking nothing out.
Amen.
The Bible has a whole lot to say about nothing. I can do nothing. I am nothing. I know nothing. I brought nothing into this world. But then I'm going to tell you, when God works, everything's changed. You see, I brought nothing into the world, and yet because of God, I lack nothing. I mean, hey, I brought nothing. I have nothing. I own nothing. And yet because of God, His mercy and grace and abundance on my life, I lack nothing. I tell you what the Bible said about the children of God in Deuteronomy 2 and 7. Said, for the Lord thy God has blessed thee and all the works of thy hand. He knoweth thou walking through this great wilderness these 40 years. The Lord thy God has been with thee. Thou hast lacked nothing. Amen. That's right. I sat beside the bedside of the saints going home and watched them when it came their time to leave. My little granny laid there in the home, the hospital bed, red filled with cancer. I mean, just tore all to pieces with cancer throughout her body. They're coming up daily at a new place and growing so fast. It was like you could see it in your life. And hey, she got to it. Just training for another breath of life. But she gathered the family around on Sunday afternoon before she passed away. And she looked at all of us around the bedside. And there it was. There it was, four preachers. And her son-in-law. And the three of her grandsons. Her grandson-in-law's preachers. And listen, she looked around the bedside. And everybody had a testimony that they'd been saved. And everybody just come to my house of God. And under soon tithe and close some church. And come by to see her. And the preaching granddaddy sitting there beside of her. And we never had a whole lot of money. And she looked around that bed. And she said, God has given me everything that I've ever asked for. She said, I've never done without anything. I've had everything I've ever wanted. And she said, this is just wonderful. To live a life for Jesus. You make sure you stay by Him. You know what she's saying? I brought nothing in this world. I'm taking nothing out. But while I was here, by God's grace, I lacked for nothing. God's taking care of me. Woo! I'm glad He'll do it, friend. He'll take care of you. Amen. 2 Peter 1:3 said, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that called us to glory and virtue. You see, I have no place to complain. I lack for nothing. Philippians 4:19. I said, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And He's done just that. I have lacked for nothing.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, the Bible has a lot to say about nothing. I can do nothing. I am nothing. I know nothing. I brought nothing. But because of Jesus, I've lacked for nothing. I'm going to say, because of Jesus, I'm offended by nothing. I wish some of you hear this part of the sermon. Because of Jesus, I'm offended by nothing. How about that? Psalm 119:165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. That's what the Word of God says. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You know the reason why folks get offended all the time about everything is because they really don't have peace with God, and they're not in love with the law of God. Because if they were, the Bible said, great peace of they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. I'm going to tell you something. Listen, now that word offend means cause them to stumble or to quit. And listen, hey, you may do something sometime or other makes me unhappy, but you won't do something that'll cause me to go home quit on God. Amen. That's exactly right. That preacher may preach hard enough to get me to the altar, but he won't preach hard enough to get me to the house. Amen. That's exactly right. Well, you don't know how somebody has hurt my feelings or what so and so has said about me. I understand those things happen. I also understand that folks are right with God. Nothing shall offend them. Don't mean it won't hurt your feelings. That just means it won't make you stumble and quit. That means it won't make you stop on God and give up on God because of what some person did. I tell you, I'm not living for that person anyhow. I'm not serving that person anyway. I'm serving God. I'm not quitting God because of what some person did. I'm only here for Jesus. Amen. And if you want to come along, come along. And if not, I'm living for Jesus anyway. Amen. I like nothing. I'm offended by nothing. And then I want to say finally, because of Jesus, nothing is impossible. Amen. I am nothing, know nothing, can do nothing. I brought nothing. And yet in spite of all of that, because of Jesus, nothing is impossible. I say I'm helpless, don't I? And I am. But you see, you don't know about my big brother. Amen. I mentioned to you here just a few nights ago on Wednesday night, I guess maybe a couple of weeks ago on Wednesday night, about that little lady that went to the other side of the sea to work among the natives in Africa. And she was just a little bitty short girl. And a small lady, and everybody thought she was a kid because she was so small. And then she began to serve the Lord. And one of those chiefs or one of those tribes over there told her, began to ask her where her goals were, what she was there for. And she began to tell her about people getting saved and going to heaven, and how she wanted to build churches and evangelize the area, and that she began to teach people the Bible and show them Christ. He said, "You mean to tell me you're going to do all that while you're just a little girl?" She said, "Yes, sir. But you're forgetting about the little girl's God." Amen. Oh, I'm going to tell you, ain't nothing too big for God. That's not His name. Luke 1:37 said, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." In our Sunday school lesson this morning, had those disciples looked at Jesus and they said, "If it's hard for rich people to get saved, and it's hard for this religious man to get saved, who then can be saved?" And Jesus said, "With men this is impossible, but not with God. For with God nothing shall be impossible." Jeremiah 32:17, he said, "Oh Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power, and stretched out thine arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee." I tell you, nothing's too hard for God. Nothing's impossible with God. And because of that, nothing's impossible unto them that believe. Hear what Jesus said in Matthew 17:20. "If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, he shall say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." It's not just that it's not impossible to God. If you're right with the Lord, have faith in Jesus, nothing is impossible to you. You realize God's working on your behalf. And if God be for you, who can be against you? Oh, that's right. Nothing is impossible to God. Amen. Philippians 4:13, he said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." I tell you, nothing's impossible with God. A sermon about nothing. I want you to come with a song. I'm finished preaching. But I want to tell you this morning, quit living life defeated. Quit living life defeated. You need to know. Listen, I understand. I am nothing. I am nothing. I know nothing. I can do nothing. I brought nothing in the world, and I will take nothing out. But that does not cause me to live my life defeated and sad and struggling, because that all that is about me. I've talked to you about me, but I haven't talked to you about God when I get there, see. But I'm not living and dying on my own merit. I serve a big God. And thanks to Jesus, though I am nothing, can do nothing, know nothing, brought nothing, thanks to Jesus, I lack nothing. I'm offended. That is, I will not be stopped by anything. And nothing is impossible. Now tell me that a person that's got those things going for them ought to live their life defeated. What's your cause for stumbling about and not selling out to God? I tell you, we don't have a reason for that. You can make it. The devil tells you you can't make it. He tells you you can't win. He tells you you'll not live right and you'll not make heaven your home. But I'm here to tell you, you can. The devil says that you'll be a failure as a parent. Your young ones will go to hell, sure as the world. And there's nothing you can do to stop it. But I'm here to tell you that you can. I'm here to tell you that the devil is a liar and the father of it. The devil Bible says you can't have an old-fashioned church in this generation, and ain't nobody wants old-time way. But I'm here to tell you, you can, and the devil is a liar, and God is still on His throne. And the devil will tell you that you can't serve God, and you can't make it. But I want you to know you can. There is an untapped resource in this matter of prayer and a sweet, sweet relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's up to you if you'll know that without Him you're nothing. Through Him you can do all things. Stand with us if you will. If you need to come pray, maybe you need to find a place to do business with God in this altar. Cast everything else aside. Draw near to the Lord, and if you'll draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to you, Satan. If you need to pray, I wish you'd come. I could do nothing. Saved. It's impossible for them to live, he says, in this nasty, dirty world we're in. Get right with God and learn to be an old-time Christian, but the devil's a liar. Amen. And with God, nothing's impossible. You trust God. You're not man enough, woman enough, mom and dad enough to be the right kind of parents you need to be to your children without the help of the Lord. But if you trust God, God can work in your family and in your children. Somebody said, I don't wait so late. And they've already got grown. Listen, with God, nothing's impossible. God can work when nothing else will. Without Him, you'll fail. But through Him, you can have victory. She's singing another verse. You need to pray. Would you find a place? Others are praying. Would you join them this morning? Would you find a place around this corner's beach to talk to the Lord? I'm here to think where I'd be without Him. Oh, my. Oh, but thank God for Jesus. Made it all possible. This morning, have you done everything the Holy Ghost did? Have you done this week? Tried to share with you what the Lord's laid on my heart. You run the risk when you preach what I preached this morning, folks, taking it as a novelty. You know, being creative, but maybe not touching their hearts. But I want to tell you what I preached this morning is a whole lot more than just a creative thought. Right. Boy, it's absolute truth. Amen. We're nothing without Him. Right. But through Him, we can do all things. If we'd remember both of those things, we'd be better off. Amen. If all you ever remember, Brother Jeff, is that you are nothing, can do nothing, and know nothing, you won't ever be nothing. But if you'll remember that nothing is impossible with God, and couple that with understanding that you can't do anything in yourself, then you're getting somewhere. You're really getting somewhere. I'm glad I'm saved this morning.
Amen.
I'm glad I'm saved. Well, hope you'll come back and be with us this evening now. 15 to 6, we'll worship the Lord. At 6 o'clock, 15 to 6, we'll have prayer. Hope you'll come be a part of the service.